Hey, this is J.R. McNair here again in the studio, Velocity Small Business Radio. Listen, we have another amazing guest that's joined us today in the studio. Somebody, how many of you all have been riding down 166 in Atlanta, and you've seen this big studio there? The new sign is there. It says Tyler Perry Studios, right? When I met this young man, I said, you know what? This guy, and I went to his website. I saw some of the stuff he was doing. I said, this guy has some great, great content. And I remember back in the day when Tyler was doing what he was doing, and nobody really knew who he was until everybody knew who he was, okay? And it takes a consistent grind. It takes a consistent drive to continue to put content out there and to get on the road and travel and so that people can see you and see your content and see that it's good. And this is somebody that I have in the studio right now. Donald, say hello.
How you doing, J.R. McNair? Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, man, listen, man, thank you so much. I want to say that, you know, it takes a lot to put together any kind of production, okay? If you're doing an event production, if you're doing a production, music production, whatever the case is. But when you're talking about putting together a play, okay, with actors and sound and marketing and you, it is a gambit of things that have to be done. And so for you to have done this and been successful in it, it means a lot. And I think that it carries over to a lot of ways in business. So, but what I want to know is, how did you get into this? Like, you know, where are you from? How did you get into this? And you know, tell the people about what you're currently doing.
Yes. My full name is Donald Farese. I was born in Miami.
Okay.
I was in Miami, then I relocated to Orlando. I was going to college in Orlando.
Okay.
And so from there, I always had the talent to be creative, as far as creative writing. And so that's when I started off in the church.
Okay.
You know, I did a play. It was never a play that was done. And I went ahead and created this play called The Reason for the Season. And so what made me know it was powerful was because so many people was moved. It was so many people laughing. Then I had a lot of young people coming up to me crying and saying that they was actually can relate to these characters. And so many young people at that time, you know, gave themselves up to God because it was just a story that was very powerful. Because, you know, during the time of the holiday, you know, a lot of suicide.
Yeah.
So I kind of talk about that topic, you know, around the Christmas time. A lot of people celebrate, but they don't know that it's some other people that deal with serious issues, and I made sure to add those issues in there. And so that's when I was like, okay, I have a talent. I really have a gift for this. And so then from there, of course, you know, I started having a lot of other stuff that happened, a lot of obstacles that went down during the time. You know, coming from the church. So at the time, and I try to do my thing outside of the church, and it was a problem. And so from there, I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Because I need the support from my church, and I didn't get the support that I needed. And so I started to experience a lot of church hurts.
Yeah, I get
and,
it.
Yeah, so then I was like, so me as a writer, I like to write based off my pain, or I like to write based off other people's pain,
yeah,
or just reality, really.
Yeah, most writers, they I mean, that's where the blues comes from. You know, you know, they get it from real life experience.
Exactly. And so that's when I really created Church Hurts, and that was my first project. So I did my first project, and not knowing what I was doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I.
How long ago was that?
Church Hurts. I did Church Hurts maybe like 7 years ago.
Okay.
It's probably going 8 years.
Okay.
In the first riff that.
Okay, wow.
And the first play was a sold out show.
Okay, wow.
It was, I had to turn people away because it was so many people because of the title. The title really caught everybody's attention. And then from there, I went through a lot of different obstacles once again.
Yeah.
You know, I know before you was mentioning that whenever people come against you, that's when you know you got something great.
Yeah.
So I started getting cease and desist letters. I started, you know, people saying this is their product. Never met these people. Never went to their play. And so that's when I had to get an entertainment lawyer. So I had to learn the business side. You know, it's one thing to be a talent, but you also need to be having the business side together. And so that's when I had to get into entertainment lawyer to fight all of these different things. And then that's when I created my other project, I Hate My In-Laws.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's where really where I started off is in the church.
Man, that is amazing, man. So tell me, what does one have to know? I mean, how do you start with, you know, when you come up with these ideas, like, how does that start? Like, I mean, where do you start with when you're coming up with an idea? Mm-hmm. And then how does it progress? You know, you write it out, you do the music for it. I mean, how does all that work?
So pretty much for me personally, like I said, if I'm going through something, like, for example, when I did I Hate My In-Laws, it was a lot of police brutality that was happening around that time. And so I was like really emotional attached to those topics. And I was on social media every time you heard this person died or this black person getting shot. So I'm like, what do I do? Because, you know, whenever you feel something, you want to do something about it. So I went to paper. I started writing. And then I was also engaged at the time as well, too. So that didn't work out. Yeah. So it was a lot of crazy stuff going on with the in-laws being engaged. It was just too much going on.
Yeah.
So instead of being angry, I just took my anger really up on paper.
Yeah.
And so that's how I do it. So I don't really do the music. I just pretty much feel something and I just would close everything out. As far as distraction, people, turn off your phone. I'll go on fast off social media and just lock myself up and start writing.
Wow. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. So when you get in this place and you start writing, how long does this creative process work? So when you started writing I Hate My In-Laws, how long did the whole process take before you actually said, okay, I have something now?
Oh, it was a longer process because I'm very critical about my work.
I get it.
So I will write something and I'll go to somebody who I can trust and I'll ask them, like, what do you think about this? So far as time frame, I would say it can take me about 2 weeks, maybe less than that.
Oh, wow.
But 2 weeks, really, to have something full. But it's a lot of time and energy to it. And then sometimes, because I work a regular job too.
Sure.
If I have to take a short-term disability from work, that's what I would do. Or do unpaid leave from work, I would do that as well too, because it's kind of hard to be at a job and to be creative and all of that stuff. So I would just go to different people, ask people for opinion. Not everybody, but just people who I can trust, who I know that have my best interests. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, yeah, this is real good. And then from there, I'll know that I have a finished product. And one thing about plays, too, sometimes I'll do the first play, and I can see the audience, and I have a different vision.
Sure.
And I'll go back and rewrite something different.
That's right.
You know, with a scene. I'll create a different scene, or I will say, oh, I missed this, and let me add this. Sometimes I could be in rehearsal, and I can see the actors doing it, and I'm like, oh, it's something else that I'm missing. So it's really always adding. Sometimes you'll take away too. Some things you'll be like, I thought this would be funny. I thought this was a punchline. This is not really a punchline. I have to take this away. So it's really something you always go back into, even if it's 10 years. It's almost like music.
Yeah.
Or an actor, you know, like Denzel, you never think you're the best.
Yeah.
You know, you always got to go through your training. So it's the same thing with writing. You always see areas of opportunity.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's kind of like in business, we have something called an MVP or minimum viable product. We start out with something. Mm-hmm. My philosophy in business is launch and perfect it later. So I've always believed in starting, getting something, but get out there.
Yes, you know? That's true.
Get something going. Because like you said, you took just something that you created and you put it into action. And then as you start getting feedback from the audience, you started getting feedback from the actors or the actresses. You say, you know what? I need to change this. I need to change that. But a lot of us will say, hey, it's not quite there yet, so I'm not going to do it. And until it's there. But when it's there, it may be too late.
Yeah, that's true.
We may miss the time. But I do think it's a point of having excellence, too. Now, I do believe it's at a point to where you have to have a window of saying, hey, I'm not going to have this perfect. But it this leads to be excellent. It's the difference between something being excellent and being perfect. You know, perfection is something that's constantly fleeting. I don't think we'll ever really reach perfection, but you can reach excellence. And I think that's when you have that thing to say, hey, it's not quite good enough. That's a good thing, because what you don't want is to have a reputation for putting out stuff that's really not that good.
Yeah, and that was always my one thing, because I don't know, since I was young, I always had this thing where people underestimate me. So I always take that energy and then I show them, like, I can do this. So starting off, I had other playwrights, for example, and I wanted to do like mentorships, and I wanted to ask other questions for people who was already doing it. And so they was not trying to help me. And so when I did my first flyer, they was make fun of my flyer because, you know, I didn't know. I would just do my own flyer. And they would be like, oh, he got these bootleg flyers or something like that. And then it would publicly, you know, shame me instead of mentoring me. And so from there, you know, of course, you know, God always give you the right people, the right connection.
That's right.
Then I had a real good graphic designer, and all of these different things. And so now my thing become like excellent quality. So everything was just quality, you know, even with my show. I already knew the show itself would be quality, but the other side, I didn't really know about it. So from there, everything that I put out is just quality. So that's where I get my thing. So I'm not so much about the quantity, so it's always the quality. But of course, later on in business, you find out you have to have quantity and quality, or if not, you know, you just struggling trying to do the next show because you probably upside down, or, you know, you're not breaking even. So both of them work together.
No, but you said a couple things there that were amazing when you spoke of it there. See, this a lot of times, a lot of us, we will take the things that people have told us and make us stop doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But what you did is it made you even better. It made you sharper. It improved you. It said, hey, you know what? Yeah, you said this, but thank you. You know what I mean? you know, it says all things work for the good, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, and so you took something that they may have tried to turn at and make it bad, and it made you a better business person. Yep. It made you a better playwright, a better businessman, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things you talked about, Denzel, he speaks about so many times how he says he doesn't take everything. He doesn't take all the jobs. He said, you know, he said he's very particular about the jobs he takes and what he does. You know, he's not like a person that just has to be in everything, you know.
Yes.
And when you see Denzel in something, you know, he's going to bring it. You know what I'm saying?
Every time.
He thought about it before he got into the role. He said, if I can't do this right, I'm not going to do it. If I can't be the best at this, I'm not going to touch it. Right. And I think that's something that's great, man. So I believe that's phenomenal. So when is the next show coming up?
Yeah, the next show is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's going to be on March the 28th. It's going to be at the Parter Sanford, the Third Performing Arts and Community Center. So it's going to be in Decatur, Georgia.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. That's going to be my first showing in Atlanta. I have done other showing in Mississippi, Alabama, and throughout the whole Florida. So this is like my first time going to do a show in Atlanta. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, listen, we're excited for you because I'm going to tell you already that I'm going to be there. Okay. And so I'm going to be there, and I'm going to let our people know. We have various communities, film, music, television, and sort all throughout. And in the business communities here, And people, like we were speaking about the last guest, we try to support, people that come to Atlanta. We want to let them know, hey, listen, you know, and there are people anywhere, any city that you have people who may not be for certain people, but then there's certain people who are. They want to win. They want other people to win, you know, and that's a good thing. So I think that, you coming here and you offering this great play, the one that you're going to have here, that is going to be.
I hate my in-laws.
I hate my in-laws. Yeah, yes. Totally. Yes. So is a musical? So they're singing, or is there just straight acting, or how does that?
I'm working the logistic on that.
Okay.
I mean, but it does have music in
it. Okay, I got you.
So what I'm working on that, like far as, you know, with the musician, because I'm actually casting, you know, new people here in the Atlanta area. So
okay.
I'm going to bring some of the Atlanta talent. So, which tomorrow I'm actually having some casting calls tomorrow. So I'm excited.
Where at?
About
and how do they find out?
The casting calls. I'm just looking right now to see if I can give the casting call information.
Because we have groups of people that are all around that we can send stuff out to for it. And so we want to make sure that we get you in and involved with for the auditions for this. Because I actually met So we have, I have a group called Atlanta Actors Network. We have, you know, thousands and thousands of actors that are here, and several of my people through there, they're now mini celebrities. Well, they're celebrities. I'm going to say they're celebrities. And they're on shows like Black Lightning. They're on various shows. And they started out coming to our acting classes. Oh, and just hitting it. They were the people who were very successful at it, though, were consistent. Every time we had something, they were there. They were improving. They went to everything. I mean, they were like a fly on the wall everywhere. And that's the thing I've seen a lot of times. A lot of us, we say, well, that was luck, man. How did they get this opportunity? How did this happen? It's like, that's not luck. You know, that's
it was meant to be.
Yeah. And they put the work in. So tell me about, so first off, tell me where it's at.
Yeah, I have the casting calls going to be on January the 23rd. The time is going to be 6 to 9 p.m. It's located in 1242 Columbia Drive, Decatur, Georgia. So that's where it's going to be, 6 to 9.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, great. Tell me about the hard work. How much work does this take? I mean, you know, so that people understand the breadth and the depth of what you're doing. You know, what does that look like?
It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. A lot of time people, they see the finished product. They don't understand what you really have to do because I'm independent. So I've been doing this for a very long time by myself. You know, if it takes taking loans, you know, spending thousands and thousands, thousands of dollars because it is a lot. And so, you know, when you're not, sometimes if you don't do what you have to do and then all of a sudden you're still responsible, you know, to pay that. So on the personal side, then you got to look at yourself like, oh my God, do I do the next show? This is my personal credit. Oh, this is my debt ratio looks higher than what it was not supposed to be. So you still have to keep on pushing.
That's,
you know,
right.
So I look at other people before me that made it, you know, they didn't even have the opportunity to get a loan. You know,
they that's right.
Even in their cars, they had $500. And so it's just, of course, you know, they paid the wave. It's different. We're in a different era. People have other resources and everything like that. So I thank God for the resources that he have gave me to do the shows and to do shows outside of the state of Florida. That's, you know, that's major. And even to do this now, but it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of work. I mean, for somebody that's not built for this, they will give up a long time ago.
That's right. That's right. And yeah. So you said God sends the resources. Talk about your relationship with God. And tell us about that and how that all really works into what you're doing. Cause I know a lot of your plays, they have a base there. So talk about that and what that means.
Yeah, my relationship with God is very, very powerful. So I'm the type of guy that I really fast. You know, I do fast. I'm not going to say but I do fast. So when I do certain move, I seek God to get like an answer. Like, for example, when I did my first show, like we didn't get no new ticket sales, you know? So I'm like, okay, I done spent $10,000 on the show and I'm still spending some money. I'm like, nobody buying tickets. So I'm fasting and asking God. And so then he revealed to me a certain story in the Bible where, you know, Jesus was actually able to multiply the fish. And so my pastor was like, Don, I think you should shut this down because you're not making no money and this don't look good. And I said, that's not what God say. I said, he told me he's going to multiply. So overflow is going to come. So even if it's the last day, that's what's going to happen. And so he said, well, if God said that, I don't got nothing to do with that.
That's right.
So the day of, it was an overflow of people that really showed up. And he was like, wow, like you really have a great relationship with God. So that's how strong my relationship with God. A lot of people don't think that, but honestly, that's what it is. So even with some relationships, some connections, those who came to help me to this day, you know, those are people that I know that God sent in my life to do it. So far as that, my relationship with God is very powerful. You know, I'm not a denomination, so I do believe in all the other stuff, you know, far as the different gifts and everything like that. So I pray, I fast, you know, I do those things.
Yeah, man, and that's amazing. We had a one of our other shows, A Healthy Atlanta, we were talking about just the different parts of health, spiritual health, mental health, physical health, and a lot of times we don't really talk about spiritual health and how important that is, and whoever your God is, you know, having spending time to focus on that part of our being and what that means is extremely important. Tell me this, what could you tell somebody who's maybe aspiring to go into this field as a as a playwright or as a producer of plays, what would be some things that you could tell them, some advice that you could give them that would help them if they're trying to actually start?
I would first start off in saying, like you say, put God first and perseverance.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of things going to come your way, a lot of hiccups. And also, I would say, educate yourself. You know, look for workshops, you know, mentorships, and just continue to, you know about your craft, you know, and also ask advice from other people that's doing it as well, people that's going to give you honest, really honest opinion on what it is, not people that's going to tell you it sounds good because they're your best friend, but somebody that's going to tell you, no, this don't sound good, this don't look good, you need to go back to the drawing board. Because what's going to happen is that if you're in this industry and you put your work out there, like you said in the beginning, it can be bad reputation because word of mouth go around real fast.
That's
so
true.
If you have a bad product and they see your name, because your name is what you have, because your name is your brand.
That's correct.
And so if you already mess up your brand, it's gonna be very hard to really gain the confidence of the public. But if you have that, the real product, everybody going to say, oh, yeah, this is good, and everybody going to come, and you're going to have your success from that area, and you continue to push and push. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some up days, you know, so it comes with the territory. So I would say to just continue. It's always something you're going to always be doing. It never stops.
That's right. And listen, you said something about the name. I remember sometimes when I go on to different streaming services online, if it's Netflix or whatever, and I see something and I see it has Tyler Perry, so Tyler Perry's Boom or whatever the show is, and I know, okay, this is maybe something that I want to look at it. I might not even know what it is, but I said, I'm going to give it a try because I've seen his name and his work. And like I said, you know, for what he does and Roland, I know that name. So with your name, how do people get in touch with you? How can people, you know, reach out? How do they find out about this amazing play that's happening? And where can they go to find out more information about you?
Absolutely. My name is Donald Varese, and Varese is spelled V-A-R-I-S-T-E. And so I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. My website, www.donaldvarese.com. So that's the ways you can reach out to me and my like page as well.
Your Instagram is it Donald Varese?
Yes, my Instagram is Donald_Varese.
Okay, great. And your Facebook is the same?
Yeah, my Facebook is Donald Varese.
Okay, Donald. Okay, great. That's excellent. Listen, my last question that I have for you is this. Let's look 4 or 5 years from now, okay? What does the Donald Varese brand look like? What does the company look like? Tell me 5 years from now, what are we looking like?
5 years from now, see me touring, you know, having a national tour, and also having my book as well, because I have a book that I currently have, but I'm just waiting till I get an actual official PR and to get the book out there. And I have a play also to follow that out, so book to follow that book as well, and seeing myself doing some mentorship as well, you know, workshop, you know, some of the issues that I'm talking about within the actual show itself, you know, some of those stuff that people don't want to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's going to happen a whole lot sooner than you think. And I think if you just continue to do what you're doing, because, man, we're in a great place in Atlanta, man. The right people see you, man. They're gonna invest in what you're doing. And they're going to really – and I just think it's going to take off. You know? So I'm looking forward to it. So y'all stay tuned. Listen, stay tuned to Donald and all the great things that he's doing. We're going to actually send some information out probably tomorrow to let you all know about where those things are. So check where we are. Check, and we'll send out some specific links so you can go to actually the some of the castings for I Hate My In-Laws, because I look and I saw some of the stuff there, the last one that they did, and it was amazing. So you all go out, have an opportunity to take a look at this amazing young playwright that's doing some amazing things here in Atlanta and across the nation. So without any other further ado, please go and check him out. But this is J.R. McNair, and this is Velocity Radio. Thank you so much.